thing. There it is.
Generic music. Yes, generic music. There it is. Broadcasting the boisterous part of the fastest game in the world. So strap on your lids and lace them up, Rook. You're listening to the Barn Chirpers Hockey Podcast. Take a lap!
Lap it up, boys! Yes. Lap it up!
Corey, take a lap! Take a lap!
My cardio is shit, man. You know this.
You come on for the first episode, and then you don't show up for like eight of them, and now you're back.
Yeah, I know. There may or may not have been some Benoit references off air that people missed.
Well, you might as well bring them to air.
Yeah, we might as well bring them to air. We talked about a guy from Edmonton, the one that killed his family and himself.
It wasn't McDavid or Draisaitl, but
yes.
he did have a French Canadian last name. What's up, boys?
Hey, man.
So I want to point out the obvious. You'll see at the ticker we're all wrong,
dead wrong,
yeah,
dude.
Like dead wrong across the board.
Wrong. I mean, we got some teams right and whatnot, but yeah, definitely. Florida,
all wrong. All of it's wrong.
All of it is wrong.
These are seven games.
Yeah. Nope.
Nope. It was a sweep, and we'll get to that because obviously that already happened. We're talking about the Florida Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes. We'll get to that at the end of the show.
But there is a game four tonight, Joe.
There is. Well, when we're recording, this will be released tomorrow-ish. So this series might be done already by the time
right.
anybody hears this, which is insane. Absolutely insane. Corey, I want to hear your thoughts because I haven't heard your thoughts at all about these two series.
Well, first of all, it's this one for me, Dallas-Vegas, immediately what jumps out is just what a goalie can do for you, right? Because Adin Hill's been very, very fucking solid for the Knights. And who would have thought, because coming into this series, you've got two teams that can score, but the superior goalie, which is usually what you go to, is Dallas with Ottinger. And for Vegas to be up 3-0 I thought Vegas would win the series, but I don't think anyone expected this. You know what I mean? And 3-0 is hard to come back from. So you've already got Florida there, as we've said, and you kind of pencil in Vegas already. But I thought it'd be more of a series, man. And my immediately thoughts go to, you kind of wish Seattle would have snuck through because it's like that's what you think the league wants anyway, is you want your two expansion teams to kind of have the natural rivalry. And what better chance than, okay, the first time Seattle appears in the playoffs, they face each other for the right to go to the Stanley Cup, and Vegas was already there their first year. So to get back, you've got to get through the new kid in town. And I mean, I don't know. Maybe Seattle makes it more of a series. It's hard to not make it more of a series in 3-0, right? So that's yeah. kind of the first thought I have is in that, and just my boy, you know, I thought it would be tighter than this with Ottinger in net for Dallas.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a great point you bring up because, I mean, speaking of goaltenders, yeah, Adin Hill has been lights out, absolutely lights out. But the biggest thing, of course, is just Vegas scoring.
Yes.
They just nonstop score. I mean, our boy, we talked about it last week, Jack Eichel finally getting his first opportunity in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So 6 goals, 10 assists, 16 points. Like, he's being the guy that he talked about. He's walking the walk of all the shit that he talked. Like, right. Give me a chance. And as a hockey fan, we talked about this last week. That's awesome to see. Like, I love that. I don't necessarily care about Jack Eichel, but that's great to see. So he's scoring, but not only that, all these other guys on the team are scoring as well. Mark Stone, Chandler Stephenson, Marchessault, Barbashev, Carlson, all with 10 or more points in this entire playoffs. And that is, I mean, that's how you win. That's how you win games. That's how you win series. It's not that hard to figure out. But so the Knights have 11 goals in 3 games. So they're 3-0, obviously, as we talked about. 11 goals in 3 games, right? And they got... They had to pull Ottinger the last game, game 3. He played like 8 minutes and Ottinger was out because they put up 3 goals, bing, bang, boom. Like, so as you said, Ottinger, who we've
pumped his, of.
Yeah, we've pumped his gas a whole lot. And I don't necessarily blame him entirely for all those goals being scored, but man, it's quite a difference from the first two series than what we're seeing now.
Yeah.
Great points. I love that. Yeah. So to that same thing, the Dallas Stars only 5 goals in 3 games. And obviously they are down 0-3. And you're not going to win you're not going to win with 5 goals in 3 games. Like, obviously that's why they're down 3-0. I mean, so far in this series, Jason Robertson has 3 points and he seems like he's starting to heat up finally, but might be too late. You know, they got one more game. Roope Hintz, 3 points in the series. Pavelski, 2 points in the series. Jamie Benn, 1 point in this series. And then Wyatt Johnston and Max Domi, no points in this series. And those three were pretty surprising to me because those three had pretty substantial goals and points scored in the Seattle series. Wyatt Johnston put the Kraken away in game 7. So that's been really interesting for me to see that these guys all of a sudden just forgot how to score, because you know, I've watched the games and I don't necessarily think that they're not getting shots. They're getting a fair amount of shots. They're not going in. Aiden Hill, like we said, has just been lights out.
Yeah. And that's, because the Stars do have depth. They're able to score. I mean, hell, they did it the first 2 series, as you said. It's just, it's almost been like this perfect recipe for disaster for them, where Ottinger hasn't played his best, but their sticks have gone cold too. And, you know, when you juxtapose that to Vegas, who has several guys with double-digit points already, as you said, and Eichel, who's been kind of the Western Conference answer to Matt Tkachuk, I mean, you kind of happen to run into a buzzsaw. And when you do, I mean, it doesn't matter what the laundry is on the ice. It's all you need to do is get hot. Right. And that's what Vegas is right now. So, and Eichel, for all of the drama he created to get his way out of Buffalo, he's backing it up now. And
like I said, he's talking the talk. So, exactly. I mean,
exactly.
Stick tabs to that, because he's talking it.
Yeah.
And we mentioned,
that's all you need to do.
As we mentioned, Aiden Hill being lights out. So this guy, I mean, they were going back and forth with Laurent Brisson. And he gets hurt, and all of a sudden Aiden Hill gets his chance now. 8 games, 6 wins, 1 loss, only 14 goals allowed in this entire playoff. So he came in at the end of last series, right? And then obviously the 5 goals that Dallas has scored in this series, excuse me. But look at that, 1.96 goals against average and a .940 save percentage. Vezina stats. Obviously. Absolutely. Obviously, he's not going to win the Vezina from the playoffs, but why do you think Vegas is up 3-0? Like, they're sweeping. They're honestly, they could sweep tonight. We could be looking at Vegas versus Florida Panthers Stanley Cup final. It's very, very apparent that could be a thing. Obviously, we know Florida, and we'll get to that, came back from a deficit against Boston, and look where they're at now. But you got a great goaltender and you're scoring. Let's look at Jake Ottinger's numbers. Cause as we talked about, not the greatest. No. The guy that was lights out in the Minnesota Wild series and the Seattle Kraken series, all of a sudden is now, and we didn't put, so these stats, right? 45 goals allowed. And that goes through the whole entire playoffs, but obviously 11 goals allowed already in this series in 3 games. 3.02 goals against average, .895 save percentage. Ugh, that is disgusting.
Yeah.
He went from 16 games, 8 wins, and 8 losses. Like, you can't be .500, bud. You can't be .500. No. And what I thought was really interesting, I looked at the league leaders, and I was trying to find Jake Ottinger on the league leaders for goalies. And if we look at the last series, he was in the top echelon of the playoff leaders. For goals against average and for save percentage, he isn't even in the top, 2, 4, 6, 8. He wasn't even in the top 10. Oh. Now, he's not even in the top 10 for goals against average or save percentage. And obviously, we're including all of those other tenders that played this playoffs for 2023. He's not even in the top 10.
Wow. For
any of those stats. That is insane.
Yeah. Vegas has wrecked him, man.
Absolutely. Because, like, That's the other thing too, is 428 shots throughout the whole entire playoffs. I should have got this stat and I didn't, so I apologize to all the listeners. But Vegas hasn't really, like, they're not putting up 30, 40 shot nights.
No.
They're like low 20 shot nights. So
yep.
He's not facing a lot of shots. And obviously they're just going in. So having a tough go of it, man, having a real tough go of it.
I think,
go ahead.
I think too, that the thing I thought that was going to go against Vegas, the fact that they hadn't really faced a challenge yet, I think that's actually working in their favor. Like Dallas has been challenged pretty hard.
Yeah.
And I thought that was going to work out for them. And it isn't.
Yeah. No. I was just thinking that today, actually, cause you have mentioned that a couple of times now. And for the life of me, this is kind of funny. For the life of me, I was like, okay, Dallas put out the Seattle Kraken. Who did they play in the first round? Because it seems so long ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, right, Minnesota. And that went six games. So a six game and a seven game. And you were right when we talked about this before. Vegas hasn't really been tested. I mean, they went through Winnipeg. Yeah, they faced a really strong Edmonton team, but really they still walked through them 4-2. So, I mean, those two wins that Edmonton got were essentially like laughable. Like, okay, that's cool. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So yeah, they haven't really been tested. And we said that, Justin, you mentioned that, like that could be a real test for the Stars, but clearly they have a lot more gas in the tank and Dallas just seems to be whimpering along.
But it also kind of just goes to this playoffs. Like you still got to get on the ice.
Yeah. Still got to get on the ice. Another interesting thing is the captain, Jamie Benn, does a boneheaded move in game three. He gets tangled up with Mark Stone, and Mark Stone goes to the ice because obviously Benn is a bigger guy. And while on the ice, he cross-checks him in the neck multiple times and then punches him a couple of times.
Yeah,
Jamie Benn got suspended for two games. He's pretty much done for the playoffs now.
Yep.
Honestly, he's done for the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's your captain too.
Like, what are you doing, man? I mean, if he's not, like, obviously it's two games, so it'd be game four tonight when we're recording and game five. So you're telling me Dallas already has having trouble scoring.
Yep.
Now they're not going to have a guy that usually gets their points for them. It's going to be real tough to come back from that, bud.
Yeah, the deck stacked against him, man. And it is. I mean, hell, Rupe Hintz was pretty damn hot, you know, in the Kraken series. Same with Wyatt Johnson. I mean, all these guys. And it's just they haven't shown up at all, you know, to what you were saying. And I mean that right there, man, when you're not even able to, when you're getting punched in the face and you're not even able to counter, you know, and nothing's getting home for you. It like you said, it's not like they're not shooting. Nothing's fine in the back of the net, dude. And so it when you're captain, even though Jamie Benn isn't putting up anything really in the way of a box score, when you've got that C on the chest and you make a move like that, man, that kind of sets the tone for your captain's out there clearly losing his shit to a degree. That's it. That's not something Jamie Benn's known for. Yeah. Exactly. This isn't Tom Wilson out there. You know what I mean? And so when
real quick, even to that point, Tom Wilson has changed his game over the last couple seasons.
For sure. So, I still hate his guts and he can still fuck himself.
That's fine. But just to that point, like I see for sure. I see what you're saying. Like you're the captain. You might take a penalty here and there. He still fights every now and then. So,
right.
Yeah, but as a captain, like what kind of bonehead? He's already on the ice and you're going to cross check him in the freaking net.
Yeah. What you can't be out there going after dudes' throats.
Did you see his response though? Like what he
there was like there was no response, was
essentially.
There?
Essentially, like
yeah, he just walked off.
Well, so they interviewed him after about it, and he said something along what amounts to the fork got me fat. I landed on my stick, and unfortunately, my stick hit him or something. It's like, come on, man.
Essentially, he said,
"Oh shit, and just,
dude. You threw a tantrum.
You threw a tantrum because you're getting beat, and
exactly
say I lost my cool,
right?
Yeah, I would have a lot more respect for you to be like, I lost my cool, and I know I shouldn't have done it, but I lost my cool. We were getting our ass kicked, and that can't happen, but it happened. You know what I mean? Like,
and now what's the rest of the locker room do? If that's what your captain's doing, what's the rest of the locker room? What's their response?
Well, again, essentially you're already defeated down 3-0. So you need some type of spark. That's not the spark to get three more wins or four wins now. Like, Oh man. Yeah, it's a tough go for Dallas for sure. And obviously I picked them. So
same.
And I picked them to walk through Vegas too, which is also funny.
Well, we all got that wrong, so that's all right.
We sure did. But I feel like we're all on the same page that it's probably going to be over tonight.
I took Vegas. I took them in seven, though.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
So it, yeah. I don't. If it's not over tonight, they get a courtesy win. It's over in five.
Yeah, it's going to be real tough for sure. It's going to be real. A lot of things that have to go wrong for Vegas, and I don't see that happening now at this point. So let's talk about the most exciting thing. The Florida Panthers.
Wow.
Sweeping the Carolina Hurricanes.
Wow.
And, you know, we didn't even get a chance to talk. We previewed this, but it was over so fast. It's so funny that last week we were talking about, next time we record, we'll probably have a couple games in hand. We'll see how the conference finals are shaping out. One is done, and the other one is about to be done tonight.
Yep.
That is absolutely crazy. For those of you that have been living under a rock and maybe didn't know, but the first game went to four overtimes, almost five overtimes. And Matty Tkachuk scores the game winner in that one.
Matty Tkachuk.
Uh-huh.
Game two goes to overtime again. And who's the game winner? Matty Tkachuk.
Yeah,
Matty Tkachuk.
My dude is... You know what? I just said my dude. I know I've been chirping him a lot throughout this whole podcast, but it's more so because here's the thing. We'll put a pin in the series real quick. I thought Matty Tkachuk was a different kind of player initially, but now I know what kind of player Matt Tkachuk is. He's a skill guy that's going to get under your skin, but he's not really going to do anything about it. He's just going to get under your skin.
Yeah, he's an agitator.
He's essentially – Brad Marchand, obviously five times better though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And I realize that now, and I've realized it after that second game where he scored the OT winner. I'm like, okay, I understand who Matty Tkachuk is now. He's the guy you want to put the puck on his stick when the game is on the line, and he's going to do it. Seven goals, 12 assists, 19 points. And as I said, he scored back-to-back OT winners in the playoffs. First player to ever do that in the history of the NHL. So dude is on fire. And not only that, so game three was a 1-0 win. Game four, to finish the sweep, Carolina gets an untimely penalty. And in overtime, who gets the series ending goal?
Yep.
None other than Matthew Effing Tkachuk.
You know what we call that, Joe, on this pod? We call it Matthew Tkaclutch.
Yes.
Perfect. Matthew Tkaclutch. We're coining that right now, everybody. Copyright. And he literally, so he goes from behind the net, gets the puck, and he almost walks right in front of the goalie untouched. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you not?
The hottest guy in the goal.
The hottest guy in the series. How do you not put two guys on? I don't care if you're down 5-4. Like you're on a penalty kill. How do you not cover Matthew Tkachuk? He literally won three of the four games in this series in overtime. That is insane. Absolutely insane. Dude, like you said, it's clutch. Matthew Tkaclutch.
He is. This run he's on right now is a treat to watch, man. I mean, I don't remember offhand a guy, I mean, I know there is, I'd have to think, but off the top of my head, that has just completely grabbed a playoff series in the playoffs by the balls and just run with him the way Tkaclutch has. I mean, look, it to your point about, you know, Aiden Hill with the Vezina, I know that with, you know, awards, technically the playoffs isn't necessarily, but I think at this point you have to give him the Hart Trophy. You can't not. You know, it. There's no way when voting for the Hart Trophy, this shit isn't going to be in the back of voters' minds. There's no way. He's got to be it, because not only are they not here.
You mean Bobrovsky, right?
I mean, dude, even him. Well, I'm talking about, to your point about Aiden Hill earlier.
Yeah.
You know, with Tkachuk, because he's a Hart Trophy finalist. I mean, I think he's got to be it, man. He has to be. And the way...
If if they win the cup, it'll definitely be Tkachuk or Bobrovsky for sure.
Yeah, it's I mean, the trade him and Huberdeau, I mean, it's just crazy seeing how look this how is lopsided. Shaking out. Yeah,
that looks right now.
Who would have thought? I mean,
real lopsided.
Who would have thought? Yeah, man. I mean, kudos to Florida for winning that trade. And from watching Bobrovsky be chased by a Nashville team in person a couple months ago, and you know, like he's been off the last couple of years, but this is still a guy that's won two Vezinas, and right now he's the hottest guy in the playoffs in terms of goaltenders. I mean, Aiden Hill's great, but Bobrovsky's been phenomenal, dude. And to see what he's been going through, I mean, we've talked about it. You know, you've owned him in fantasy, and we've kind of joked about it over the last year or two, the way he's looked, you know. And it's awesome to see him, you know, catch fire the way he has. And it's great to see Florida, you know, here for the first time since 96. It really is. I mean, they don't get there very often, man. And so to have them, you know, in the playoffs period, let alone in the cup. So, I mean, I'll be honest, dude, this is who I'm rooting for.
Yeah.
The rest of the way. I don't think you can help unless you have a horse in the race at this point. I think that's the team, man, that you pull for.
And of course, the graphic there, this was before the sweep happened last night, but 6 goals in 3 games. Again, the Panthers were on fire in this series. Whereas, We're gonna shit on the Canes a little bit because they didn't show up. The Canes had where'd my stat go? Stat guy, they're on the struggle bus. They had 3 goals in 3 games. And I mean they scored 3 last night for game 4.
Yeah, so six goals in 4 games
is not gonna do it.
No,
and this is essentially what I kept mentioning every round was how are they going to score? I didn't know how the Canes were going to score. They weren't showing it at the end of the season, right? Well, right. They showed it here in the worst possible time in the Eastern Conference Finals. In the playoffs for the Canes, the leaders, Sebastian Aho had 12 points. Seth Jarvis had 10 points. Those are the first line guys. And then Jordan Martinook was the third guy leading the Canes. Also 10 points in the playoffs to date.
Mostly against the Devs.
Yeah.
Mostly against the Devs. And Martinook is a third and fourth line guy.
Yep.
So where is everybody else? Like that. I mean, that's why you lost, Carolina. Mm-hmm. You didn't put pucks in the net, obviously. That was just a little kind of crapshoot on the Canes, but they didn't score. They didn't, and they were putting shots on, like Bobrovsky was just lights out.
Yeah.
Absolutely lights out because they were getting 30, 40 shots a night. But look at those stats. 12 starts, 10 wins, 2 losses, 2.15 goals against, .935 save percentage.
Whew.
And look at those numbers from a change in the season. Those are those numbers that we were always chirping Bob with. And we even in this playoffs, like, oh, well, you're probably going to get 5 goals against Bob.
Yeah, dude.
He proved everybody – he's proving everybody wrong right now that – nah, man, I'm here to win this thing. And as you mentioned about the MVP, the Conn Smythe, he's definitely in the conversation because without his performance, hard to believe that Florida would be going to the Cup final right now.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those two for the Conn Smythe for sure. You know, Eichel maybe, you know, if Vegas wins, but definitely if it's Florida, it's got to be one of those two.
And in the so in the rankings, so for goals against with that 2.15, Sergei Bobrovsky is currently 4th behind Shesterkin, Aiden Hill, and then Freddie Anderson. The biggest thing with that though is there was a lot of goals being scored in the Boston series, but obviously in this series that isn't the case. So he's essentially brought that down. And then in save percentage, he is 3rd behind Aiden Hill, who we know is lights out. Freddie Anderson. And then it's Sergei Bobrovsky, but he's only literally 0.2, or excuse me, Freddie Anderson has a 9.37 and Bob has a 9.35. So that'll continue to go up as the finals go on too. But again, just absolutely playing his ass off. And Florida would probably not necessarily be in this position if he wasn't on fire like he is.
Old Officer Bob showing up at the right moments. Like, this is a guy who lost the net twice to two different guys this year.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the craziest part. He lost it twice Two times.
Yeah.
Alex Lyon, dude.
At the end of the year, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was Alex Lyon's net going into the playoffs. And they handed the reins back to Bob. And Bob was like, I got this.
Yeah.
I got this. You know,
and here he is.
And here he is. Like
old five goal Bob.
Yeah. Old five goal Bob. Old officer Bob. I tell you what. And again, and I mentioned this to Hulkster the other day when we were on our road trip there, but and you mentioned it, Corey, on our road trip down to Nashville. We saw him get lit up.
Five goals in the first
in Nashville. Yeah. I also when I went to Florida for my hockey trip, they went to OT with the Blackhawks. this Florida team that we're seeing in the playoffs was not the Florida team that we saw in Nashville, was not the Florida team that I saw in Florida at their barn. It's crazy how things changed, how things change, you know?
It is.
And I do want to talk about, I did mention Freddie Anderson and Antti Raanta there real quick. Look at those numbers. Freddie did pretty well throughout the whole playoffs. 1.58, 937 save percentage, 5-2. Raanta 3-3, 2.48, 909. Not terrible. If the Canes could have scored more goals, that's not terrible numbers. That's, you know, no. But so they, I don't blame them at all. What are you going to do when you leave Matt Tkachuk wide open? He's going to score that goal.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and not to mention that, all the main defensemen for Florida too, Montour, Lomberg, Ekblad, they were just hammering the net too. And I think in that four overtime game, Montour played over an hour of ice time. Just every single shift, he's just out there whatever, I got this.
Yeah, so, miles and miles of skating.
It's just insane. But and the other thing that I love about the Florida Panthers currently is not only Matty Tkachuk's celebrations after OT, busting 10, we're out of here, score the goal, we're out. And then when they did the trophy presentation, he's like, yeah, give me that thing. I don't care about superstitions.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's I'm here for it. I mean, I'm pulling for him, honestly. Why not?
For sure, man. And Tkachuk's exactly the type of guy that the sport and the league needs. You know, he's a guy with personality. He's a familiar name. I mean, you know, even, he's 90 seaman. You know what I mean? So there's a generation that has at least heard the name Keith Tkachuk that even if they don't know hockey from back when it was on ESPN, has at least heard the name, right? So there's familiarity there. He's got a personality. He's a fucking badass. He backs it up. He can play his ass off, and he's a very unique player. You know, he's an agitator. You know what I mean? He's willing to mix it up, and he's not necessarily going to drop the gloves with you, but he brings more to the table than just scoring, too. So this is the type of guy that at this stage, all right, NHL, you've got this dude here
on fire.
Yeah, flood him out there. Flood him out there, man. He's an entertaining dude. He's got personality, too. He's not the vanilla dude.
9 out of 10, they won't.
No, yeah, they absolutely won't.
9 out of 10, they're not going to run with that.
They won't.
But they should. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he has it all, really. He's a complete player. I mean, he has the toughness, like you said. He essentially has, obviously not necessarily the same amount as a McDavid, but he has the scoring power of a McDavid. He has the speed of a McDavid and Draisaitl. He has the toughness of name any tough guy.
Yep.
And then he has the personality where he can essentially – he's a fun – seemingly a fun guy to be around. So, yeah, across the board, he would be 100% the guy that the NHL could promote and market to grow the game. But as we know.
Yeah, I mean, this is a wet dream if you're Bettman. You've got this guy. This is personality.
In a big market.
And, yeah.
In a big market, dude. Yeah.
And
especially if they win the cup.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. But – you know, we all know how it goes with the NHL, man. So they're not going to capitalize. They never do, although they should.
Although they should. They have plenty of opportunities to capitalize.
Right.
Florida's in the Stanley Cup, and we could know tonight, as of this recording, whether Vegas is going to meet them. So that's interesting that the conference finals could both end in a sweep.
Right. Right.
Absolutely crazy.
Wouldn't that be, yeah. And then we'd be looking at a Stanley Cup starting, you know, very quickly within a matter of days. So
if that Vegas game ended tonight, game one would probably be, well, I don't know if they'd play on Memorial Day, but probably not.
Yeah. Yeah. Which would be cool. So, I mean, either way, I mean, if I think like we were saying, if it doesn't end tonight, if Dallas does pull one out for whatever reason, once it gets back to T-Mobile, it's done in five, I think. So.
I do want to read. I want to read this quote by Matty Tkachuk on the Prince of Wales Trophy. "Quote: The last thing that we're going to do is be superstitious about not touching it. Like nobody said we were even going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty cool to touch it, carry it around, and take pictures with it. We earned that thing." End quote.
Absolutely. Yeah, they did. Absolutely. They absolutely did. And you know, I laughed at them all year.
Yep.
All year. And again, after getting to see them live, they got lit up and just every reason to laugh at them.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. They
showed up and just every shift, do something. And here you go.
You hit the nail on the head, Justin, for sure. Every shift throughout the game, they're doing something.
Yep.
They're doing something seemingly meaningful every shift. Maybe not necessarily every single shift, but for the most part, in every single game, they're doing something, whether it's dumping the puck, making a hit, trying to make a play, getting a shot on net, or at least skating. You see them moving their feet. So, and we've mentioned it many times. They've been playing with house money the whole entire time. Like,
yeah.
I think it was last week when we talked about, like, they just don't give a fuck, you know? Yeah, like, whatever. Let's just go, man. Like,
let's go to the Stanley Cup. Let's
go to the Stanley Cup and win the whole damn thing, man. What do we give a shit about? You know? I do want to mention this real quick too. I sent it to the barn. We'll probably post it at some point, but so here's the scenario. The Blackhawks beat the Pittsburgh Penguins in one of the last games of the year. If the Blackhawks didn't randomly win this game in Pittsburgh on April 11th, which was one of just two wins in Chicago's last 14 games, the Florida Panthers would have missed the playoffs entirely.
Wow.
The Penguins would have stole that second wild card spot. So let that sink in for a minute.
Yeah, we'd be looking at a different series.
The Blackhawks beat the Penguins, and Florida would have never even been in this position. And here they are.
And for that, we give them Connor Bedard.
I mean, there's a whole other – that's a whole other conversation to have.
Yeah, those are future episodes.
I have another thing, and I talked about this with you in the car the other day, Justin. But I found I think I sent it to the Barn Sherpers Instagram. But I found it, the scenarios that I talked about with losing first rounders.
Yeah,
I found it. I think we should save it for the actual episode.
Okay,
down the line. But I found it anyway. Oh, yeah. So we'll get to that. A deep dive into the scam, rigged entry or draft lottery.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we've been saying since what, December it was going to be Bedard to the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
And
I mean, we'll get into that in the off season. Yeah.
We got the summer coming.
We do got the summer coming. So, you guys. Okay. I mean, does that pretty much wrap it up? I mean, anybody got anything else?
I think we covered everything. We could be. We should.
We might be We might be talking about Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final
next week. Yeah, who knows? The way it's going. I think that probably covers everything except Joe. Like, I feel like maybe if the band played, I don't know, Santana and Rob Thomas to open.
I really would love a cover of Santana by Rob Thomas and Carlos Santana, or even better, I would love if they played live. That'd be great too.
Jesus. We'll talk to you about that off air, Corey. There's a thing there.
All right, everybody, enjoy the rest of the conference finals. It might be over already when you're listening to this, and then you'll hear us next week probably talking about the Stanley Cup final. So, sick taps and sellies, boys.
Woo!
Boom! Boom!